Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Shane Attack.
Shane Attack is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated specializes in customer service, low prices, and prompt shipping. You can find our web store at www.discountgamesinc.com.
Welcome to Chain Attack. I'm your host, Trevor, and I fall asleep in movies. my favorite of all time, I fell asleep in the theater watching Goldmember.
The James Bond film. And,
Goldmember.
That's Austin Powers.
Austin Powers.
Sorry.
And you know, it was one of those where it's like, man, I should go back and watch that. And then when I did, I was like, wow, this is not good. It was a good thing I fell asleep.
Your psyche protected you.
There were sections of it that were brilliant. And then there were the rest of it that I'm like, gosh, this is bad. Anyway.
I'm Jay, and I need to steal some of Josh's cyborg powers because my husband kept me up super late, and and now I'm up what feels like super early. So,
and I'm Josh, and I'm trying to think if I fall asleep in anything.
you're like my wife. You don't fall asleep if there's any background of any kind. You don't fall asleep.
Oh, like, man, that is so true.
She is one of my favorite things to do is fall asleep to a movie. So I will start a movie before I go to bed, and I'll set the sleep timer on my TV. She'll watch it the entire thing.
Man, my problem if I do that, I've tried to do that before. We have at my house what we call Kafka dreams. If I do that, I mean, like, I have absolutely weird, potentially literary visions when I do that kind of stuff. Or I will fall asleep a little bit, but then when I wake up, I'm like in abject terror because I wake up at some bizarre scene in a movie, you know, and it's yeah. My psyche is very tender in those liminal spaces between wakefulness and sleep.
And you're incorrect, Josh. You fall asleep during board games.
You're that right. Your gosh, I do.
See, it's the weirdest thing.
This is why I keep good friends around me, so they can remember some of my foibles for me.
Some of my most memorable moments during board games are involve Josh, it's your turn.
And it's not like it had been a long time between my turn either. It's like maybe 60 seconds, right?
Nope, yeah, well, gone. And I would like to say that that's only happened once, but it's been it's happened quite a few times, actually.
There are
limits to the cyborg power, see, CJ, so you got to be careful what you wish for.
So, last time we recorded, actually not the last time we recorded, the last time we successfully recorded, I said that things that I didn't have a bad Games Workshop story, and now I have two sad stories related to Games Workshop. So the first one, like, this is just a continuation of a previous story. I'd told a story about this item that this has been, like, at this point probably, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks ago that this item released, and it's just been kind of an accursed item. Yeah. Like, I'm kind of curious, Josh, if you have like, so do you have any customers that like, through no fault of their own, they're just like a magnet for problems?
Oh, customers? I thought you were gonna ask me about suppliers, because
that too, sure.
The funny thing is, there's a clock that hangs on my wall now that was given to me by a supplier some years ago, but I refused to hang it for years because I was so I basically just couldn't see their logo without feeling a white hot rage about basically about accursed items that were worth, you know, frankly, millions of dollars. And I was just like, you know, I'm like, never again. I mean, we refuse to use them. And it's not easy for me to refuse to use the supplier. I mean, they're like a major supplier of certain things that we install. But yeah, I basically was like, we're not using them for a year. Like, don't even put them in your bids. So the customer I would have to think about. I'll get back to you on a customer. But yeah, supplier, 100%.
Interesting. Yeah. I like there's sometimes, and I've obviously had it with suppliers as well, where there's like, they could be, you know, 99.9% accurate, but there's like, you order this one item and like it takes multiple times to resolve, or, you know, whatever. Or there's times where we'll have an issue with a customer and it feels like it just piles on, like issues or whatever. And this has just kind of been one of those, you know, times. There was this, at the launch of the new edition, Necrons were like the big deal,
the hot commodity.
Yeah. And Cesaric was like the big centerpiece item for that army. And so had a bunch of pre-orders for it. I think it's like around $180 retail item. And so I place my order and the shipment or the order arrives, and like there's a bunch of stuff missing from this order, including all of the Cesarics. And so as soon as I get the order, I email my sales rep. I was like, hey, I need all these items that didn't arrive in the order. And, you know, on Monday, he emails back. And he's like, well, by this point, we've sold out of the Cesarics.
Oh, and, my gosh.
And I'm like, well, I need them. You know, that I've pre-sold them. I've paid for them. And he's like, well, go ahead and do an order on our website, and that'll probably be the fastest way for you to get it. And he's like, and I'll credit the difference. Spoiler alert, they haven't been crediting the difference, because they're like, yeah, it usually takes 7 to 10 days for that to process. And like, it's been weeks and weeks, and they have not processed the credit, whatever. But And you know, in that time, a bunch of customers canceled the transaction, which I can't blame them for. But there was a bunch of money lost because of that. And so finally I get a shipping notification, these many weeks since we initially had the issue, saying that the 11 Cesarics were shipping to us. And so we send out a customer contact saying, hey, huzzah, we're finally going to have these come in stock on Thursday, and I'll ship them out to you. And Thursday arrives, I get a text message from our receiver, and she says, so this package that was supposed to be 11 Cesarics is actually 10 Ghost Arcs.
Oh,
I love that the number's not right. Like, the fact that it's not just as is it a different item, but even the count is off.
And like, I died inside when I read that text. And so I sent an email to my sales rep, and it's like, well, I'll contact customer service and see what they can do, etc. And so they sent me a call tag to ship back the 10 ghost arcs, which are useless. And I asked, can you overnight the ghost arc? Or sorry, this is Eric's, etc. Because like, since I've these poor customers have been like strung along for ages. He's like, well, I'll see what I can do. And so this has been, that happened on Thursday. We're recording on Tuesday. Basically, the movement at this point has been, there has been a new order created on the website. And who knows how many weeks it will be before it actually ships.
I would seriously love to watch like a Netflix special. You know, well, they've got that one Netflix special. What's it called? The Toys Who Made Us or whatever. I'd like to watch an Netflix special that was called like The Trucks Who Didn't Bring Us Our Stuff. That was about like logistics and the shipping industry, because I can't imagine it's just nothing but a comedy of errors.
This could, the thing that's crazy, obviously, is that like they move like so many millions and millions of packages and in general.
Yeah, it, right.
Goes flawlessly, but it feels like it's always on a key item that,
there was a time, it's been, it's been 23 years ago. I shipped a box that was fairly large, and in it I put some important things to me. And during the process of shipping it from where I was to my grandparents' house here in Idaho, it broke. And everything that was in it fell out, and the United States Postal Service took those things and put them in a different box and continued the process of sending it home. However, when it arrived, about half of the things that were in the box were no longer there. And I'm like, to this day, I filled out forms with them, and I called and talked to people, and I cannot figure, it feels like it broke. The people in the location where it broke, like, basically sifted through it, picked the things they wanted to keep, and the remainder they stuck in a box and continued on its way. Anyway, I don't really understand how that happens, but
whatever. I can tell you from self-experience as well, the, like, I've had so many customers who are like, oh, can you like file a claim with the USPS or do a trace?
And you're like, good luck with that.
And I'm like, yes, I can, pee in the wind, and nothing will ever come of this. But
yeah. Yep.
I'm going to briefly share my greatest shipping story ever. And this is the day that I knew I could never succeed at a business like Jay's. When my wife and I first moved back to Idaho from college, my parents had just changed their water heater in their house. And they had this, it wasn't that old. It had only been used for a few months or something. They had this like 50-gallon propane water heater, right? And I got the frankly terrible idea to sell it on eBay. So I didn't have the sense or the skills to properly calculate the shipping cost of giant water heater. So I shipped it, and I made precisely $0.
I'm surprised you didn't lose money.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't lose money.
It was like almost spot on. What I sold it for was what it ended up costing to ship, basically. It was one of my most beautiful stupidities, frankly.
Yeah, and instead of the Toys That Made Us show, we should there should be one that's like either the games or the transactions that crushed Jay.
I would subscribe.
The second Games Workshop story is, like, every year they do, Games Workshop does these big Battle Force boxes that are it's kind of like their Black Friday special. Okay. And yeah. There are these big army boxes that are a great value for a decent price for Games Workshop. And so, you know, in the past, just to give you like kind of a scope of sale or size of this, they generally do around 10 of the battle forces, and each one I would probably sell 20 to 40 of each battle force. And so it's that time of year again, except we're this year doing it with Games Workshop having a disrupted supply chain because of the pandemic. And so again, there are 10 battle forces, and I am capped at quantity one of each battle force.
Did so, you say one?
Yes, I did.
One.
One. One.
Well, that's enough for you. How about your guess?
Like, the thing that's so stupid about it is that it's like, so obviously, that there can be a fair bit of work that goes into creating a listing for a website, and that's the same amount of work whether it's one or whether it's 50 that gets sold through it.
Yeah.
So that sucks. And then on top of it, they're also doing like the Blood Angels release and a new some new Space Marine stuff, and I can get 8 of the Codex. But like all the new models and Space Marines, etc., are all like quantity 1 to 2 cap. So, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That doesn't do anybody any good. Like, I can't think of any store that's going to be ordering a big thing that has one customer that wants.
Yeah, and the thing that's kind of funny about it is that they have 6 40K battle forces, 4 Age of Sigmar battle forces, and your order options are you can either buy all 6 40K, you can buy all 4 Age of Sigmar, or you can buy all 10 battle forces, all at quantity 1. But you can't like pick and choose which ones you think would actually do well in your store.
Oh my gosh.
So I guess that can just be a new episode of the games that crushed Jay. But my second story, and on a happier, lighter note, is so Brian recently had his 40th birthday. And one of the things I got him, we talked about this in the gift guide, but I got him kind of like this color by number Lego art of Iron Man.
I saw one of these in person at a Target recently.
They're
like serious business. This is prodigious.
Yeah. And they're not. So he did some of it, et cetera, and it was pretty cool, but it wasn't, I think that he had saw it and he was excited for it, but it wasn't really like a true Lego experience. It was more of a color by number experience. And so
just he kind of wanted to have Lego pieces.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So he wanted to do a Lego. And so I have a friend, Sung Soo, who's really into Legos. And he recommended a set. He's like, you know, this is a pretty reasonably priced one that's quite a lot of fun. And so it was the Poe Dameron X-Wing. And so I got that for Brian after we got home. And he did most of the assembly, and I was kind of like his little assistant sorting out the pieces. But it was, I realized not long after I ordered it that it was the first Lego set that I had ever put together or assembled or whatever, because growing up, I we were too poor to do Legos. I had like
Lincoln Logs, right?
Yeah, well, it was a Constructs set growing up. And then when I was an adult, since I had never done them as a kid, I just never really, I mean, I'd always thought that they were cool, but had never really spent money on them. And so it was, Brian had a blast. It was a fun time. And there were a lot of things that kind of surprised me about it. Like I had one of the things that Brian likes big things. And so when we go to Disneyland, our hotel is right at downtown Disney, and they have a, have either of you ever been to a Lego store?
Yes.
No, I don't think I've ever been to a Lego store.
Maybe I've only been to there's one in downtown Disney now that I think about it.
Yeah. I've been to several at this point, and they're definitely worth at least swinging by and seeing, because they have these like huge Lego sculptures that are outside and inside the building. Like the one at Disneyland, there's a huge Lego sculpture of Maleficent that's firing green fire at you know, someone with a sword, and there's a big blue genie, you know, statue, etc. So that's really cool. But we'd been to that Lego store and seen like the huge Millennium Falcon kit that they have, that I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it is super impressive. And so, you know, he's drawn to big stuff like that, and I was like, well, let's try something small, see if we even like it first. And so he had a like just a really fun time on doing that. And the next day on Friday, he's like, the thing that sucks about today is that there's no Legos to do today. And yesterday was so much fun, and there's no Legos today. And so naturally, we went to like four different stores that day in Idaho Falls, seeing what all they have in stock. And then actually at Target, ended up picking up a Kylo Ren shuttle that we worked on slowly through the weekend. But I think that I have created a monster. But it is one of the other thing that I was going to say. So I guess the whole purpose behind that story initially with like the big things was I had thought that I'd kind of tried to rationalize the idea of getting a big one like the Millennium Falcon or one of the Star Destroyers or whatever, that we would get it, and then it could be like this yearly tradition or whatever, where we assemble that kit. And I thought it would be the same kit, and we would just like it'd be easy to disassemble or whatever, and redo. And that's not how it works at all. It quickly became apparent.
My sweet summer child. Like, wouldn't disassembly be like worse than assembly even?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the numbered bags, the way that the instructions and the numbered bags, the way that they work, I don't know how you reverse engineer it very easily.
Maybe you could start a side business where you write the disassembly instructions as good as the Lego engineers write the assembly instructions. Just kidding, that would be impossible.
And there is, Sung Soo did tell me that there are basically kind of like the old Netflix subscription models, where you have a Lego subscription.
And oh, interesting. Okay.
They mail you kits for you to assemble or whatever, and then you mail it back to them, and then you get another kit for you to assemble, etc. Right?
Wait, and you mail it back to them, and then they disassemble it? And
I don't know how that works. If they disassemble it, or I don't know.
I mean, they would have to.
He was too scared to go further.
Well, no, when he initially told me that, it was before I had assembled one of the kits. And so, like, that didn't seem strange to me.
Oh, yeah.
But the other thing is it is obviously quite impressive, like the quality level that they have for it, and then the organization that they have with the drawings, the bags, no pieces missing, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's one of the things I remember from my MBA is that Lego is like a super honored / interesting company in the business world, because their quality control is like, I think it's like 6 parts per million can have a flaw with them at all. And like, you just see that carry through. It's crazy.
There's a show on Netflix called we've already mentioned it here, but the Toys That Made Us. There's an episode on Lego that if you haven't seen, you should go watch, because they were on the brink of bankruptcy. And they, I think
multiple times.
Yeah. And they were able to recover. Anyway, it's a fascinating episode. If you only watch one of those episodes and there's no real order to them, that's the one you should watch, is the Lego one. It is fascinating.
This is our second time recording this episode. And, you made that recommendation the first time, and I've since watched it.
Oh, really?
And yeah. And it was an entertaining episode, I will concur.
There are others that are entertaining if you enjoy toys and the stories about how they got made, and but that one's the best.
So all that said,
although the G.I. Joe one is second best.
Buy some stuff from Muse on Minis from discountgameslink.com. I would like to think that at least I will be able to had at least a somewhat profitable trade for, you know, my sanity for some amount of money. I would feel bad if I traded my sanity for a few pennies. So I appreciate any purchase. So for the rest of the episode, we were going to talk about the Star Wars special on Lego special on Netflix. And, it's one that, Josh and I have watched and Trevor has fallen asleep during.
I've seen most of it, I would say most.
Okay. So you've seen like 21 of the 40 minutes, or
no more than that. More like,
okay, I was like, how loose are we defining most?
Okay, I am. Okay.
The problem is I don't know. So here's my first complaint about the thing. It feels like there's not necessarily a overarching.
Yeah, there's not a plot or
plot
that holds together, right?
Yeah, so I've actually I got up a little bit early this morning and started rewatching it, and I got to a section that was maybe 30 seconds long that, man, I realized so that I had dozed off for 30 seconds and missed, but I'd seen everything in front of it and everything after it in that section. And I'm like, it didn't matter. I missed 30 seconds of it and it meant nothing.
Mm.
I am kind of curious. Did you feel, so Josh and I kind of described it to you, leading into in the last episode, and did you
the last recording, not the last episode.
Recording? Yeah,
because it got lost.
Did you feel like it was fairly accurate, or?
Yeah, how was my Forrest Gump comparison? That's the real question.
So I think you failed to express how little holiday it actually contains.
Okay.
Like, I wonder. Turns out
there you isn't mean the Christmas worst parts of the movie?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, the worst parts of the movie are the quote unquote life day.
Christmas
references, and they are light and not the best part of it, and not worth. I mean, honestly,
and not particularly funny is the other thing. Like,
yeah, they're not funny. There's a few things in there that I would say are funny. Maybe you got blinded by the Poe Dameron things you didn't care for, but there's a few things in there that I did find funny, but. Regardless, I think that they almost did it because they needed to paste on the holiday reference so they could actually
call
holiday moniker.
So they could call it a holiday special, right?
Yeah, I guess so. It's not holiday special, and I won't. The question I asked you is, would you ever watch this again as a holiday special? And now I understand. I will never watch this as a holiday special ever again because it doesn't have any holiday special to it. There's no holiday here.
And it has Life Day.
Okay, but it's the, as you guys already mentioned, it's the worst parts of it.
I still stand by what I said last time. I'll probably rewatch it next year when they do another Lego holiday special, and I'll watch this one beforehand.
Let me say, it's not like I didn't enjoy it. I just
fell asleep during it, and
whoa! I fall asleep during everything. That's not an indicator.
It sounds like
not at all. I fall asleep in my favorite movies.
I will say the last time we recorded, Josh was quite critical of Poe Dameron scenes or Poe Dameron himself.
I maintain that criticality.
I think it's a little bit more what Trevor says, that it's more the fact that it's kind of the bad Earth Day holiday scenes rather than that they're Poe Dameron scenes.
That's fair.
He doesn't have anything to do with the thing other than that. So
right, yeah, that's fair. So
to Trevor's point, like they could have taken him out of his cheesy, ugly Life Day sweater, and then you wouldn't even have been able to distinguish that they were trying to make a parody of the Christmas holiday, like at all.
Yeah, yeah. I one of my favorite articles of clothing is I have a ugly Christmas sweater that has BB-8 on it, and it's
nice,
pretty glorious. did you feel, Trevor, like I had said that Vader and the Emperor kind of reminded me of the Robot Chicken versions of those characters?
Yes.
Were you awake when those characters appeared?
Amazing.
For large portions of their sections, yes, I was awake.
And did you feel like that description was accurate, or?
I mean, they're the highlight of the show.
Yeah.
I think without Vader and the Emperor, the whole thing just completely falls flat. At least with that, it's interesting. It's fun. So I will say that my daughter found all the references extremely funny. They enjoyed that quite a bit. I will say that I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but the scene with the three Obi-Wan Kenobis talk to each other, that is probably my favorite scene.
Oh, because they all say hello to each other, right?
No, Josh, they say hello there.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Which is the quintessential Obi-Wan Kenobi greeting.
So I guess I also wanted to talk a little bit about the very first opening scene. If this is a spoilerish to you, then I guess skip ahead or turn this off. But I don't really consider it a spoiler per se. But it basically the start or premise of the episode is that Rey is teaching Finn, essentially as her Padawan, and teaching him how to become a Jedi, and he's doing the classic blindfolded thing shooting at you holding a lightsaber training.
How can I see with the blast shield down, etc.
Yeah. And they're struggling with, she's like, oh, I'm failing as a teacher, and he's all, I'm failing as a student. And so I guess how do you guys feel about it being the Lego Star Wars holiday special that they finally delve into this topic?
So you guys failed to express to me in the last recording that has been lost to the ether that this is not only the opening scene, this is the plot.
Yes. Well,
right. If you can use that phrase.
Okay, I'm pasting it on lightly that the plot is that she's struggling.
All right, that's fine. So it's the Euro game of a plot. I got you.
Yes, it is lightly pasted on. That is correct.
So basically, the Star Wars Lego movie is the trading goods in the Mediterranean of
plot. Yeah.
Plots. Is this what you're telling me?
Well, I'm just saying that I don't feel like it's a spoiler, because I believe that if you were to look up the blurb of what this is as you're about to push play in Disney Plus, it would probably tell you that Rey is trying to is failing to teach Poe, or sorry,
trying to figure out how to become a better teacher.
Yeah, like this would be the what you just said is the introductory blurb to the movie. It's what would be on the back of the box if you went to the video store and rented the VHS.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, I don't know what to feel like, because clearly this is where it felt like it should have been heading in episode 7 and 8, but it never went in episode 9.
Well, he did in episode 9 say, like, oh, I have this secret or something I need to talk to you about, and then he never talked to her about it. And J.J. Abrams did say afterwards that it was about him being force sensitive.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's super useful. That
yeah, totally.
This whole plot line is resolved by the director talking about it afterwards, after the movie.
In an interview that like some percentage of people, of which I am, will never read or be aware of unless they listen to a podcast with highly informed people like Jay.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's okay.
I think I just broke Trevor's mind a little bit.
I actually heard the aneurysm occur.
There's so much I love about episode 9 and so much I hate. Like, it is.
Right?
It is the summation of everything that I dislike about the prequels and the sequels.
Well, it doesn't have.
It doesn't have Jar Jar, thanks.
It doesn't have Jar Jar, and it doesn't have young Anakin, so.
I can tolerate young Anakin more than some of the things that happened in episode 9.
Ooh, wow.
I actually like episode 1 other than. If you dialed Jar Jar back about 50% and you had about 50% less of him, I wouldn't mind him either. Especially if he were only in that movie, if he were only in episode 1 instead of the main plot point of the turning point of the Empire, I would have a lot better time with it. But anyway,
I've grown softer towards Jar Jar as I've gotten older, but only because the internet has given us what do they call him? Darth Jar Jar.
Darth Jar Jar.
Yeah, that's one of the internet's finest gifts. Seriously, it's so funny.
Have you read the Twitter thread of John Lovett asking George Lucas about Darth Jar Jar?
No, is that a real thing?
It's a real thing. It's amazing.
You got to send it to me then. That sounds hilarious.
It's basically like. Ronan Farrow is John Lovett's fiance, and they get invited to this media event because of it's something that Ronan Farrow was invited to, and John Lovett was his plus one.
Yeah, yeah.
And George Lucas was there, and so John Lovett is like, "This is my one chance." So he cornered George Lucas and explains like
the plot, the
Darth Jar Jar internet theory to George Lucas.
I wish
Lucas.
I could remember what they call him. They actually have a Darth name for him, don't they?
Like, Sidious. Yeah.
Is it Sidious?
No. John Lovett explains the theory and is like, you know, so is this what you were intending with, you know, with Jar Jar Binks? And Lucas just has like this contempt and is like, no. And he's like, why are you talking to me? Why are you wasting your time?
How did you get in here, basically, right?
Yes.
Oh, that is amazing.
Okay, well, we're going to speed grade this.
The holiday special. The Star Wars holiday Lego special. Holiday special. All right.
Yes.
Which is so, canon, right? I mean, it's canon.
I think it's explicitly not canon, but... yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Great on.
So design, I think that the Lego aesthetic and the animation get top notches.
Yes.
I think the writing on this gets average or mediocre marks. But it's somewhat a painful comparison to me because there are, like, we know what you can achieve. I've watched Lego Batman. And so
right.
I know what heights can be achieved that this did not hit, and granted, like, there's not many shows that can be as good as Lego Batman, so.
Well, and I'm going to say it again, I think I said this last time, but, like, this felt like such a wasted opportunity to me, the design, because the characters are so delightful, it's so fun what they do with Lego characters, and I'm like, just redo all the movies in Lego, that's what I want. Like, some of the scenes, like, made me feel teary when they were, like, classic scenes from the old movies, you know.
So I while we were talking, I had to look up what Jar Jar's Sith name is, and I don't know if this is correct, but I love it. It's Darth Bombat. I agree that there. The thing is there's moments of brilliance in this.
Right. Yeah. There is.
Exactly.
But overall, yeah. It feels patchwork. There are times when it's just horrible. But I mean, I don't feel bad about watching it, and I'll watch it again just for those moments of brilliance. There's just sections that are flat hilarious. But we mentioned this in the first record, and I'll mention it again right here because I feel like it's important. It is too long. I guess we'll get to that. We'll get it in time management, but it's, there's sections of it that could just, like, it needs a serious editing. And maybe the problem is if you edited out the parts that is unnecessary, it's no longer a Christmas special. But I don't think it is anyway. So,
yeah. Yeah. So I give it a 6, Jay.
Yeah, that's fine. Time management. It's a 44-minute show that should be 25 to 30 minutes.
Yeah. It should be 27. It is way too long.
Yeah. So I think,
especially when you actually think about the plot that's being told.
Right.
Like, there's no reason it can't be told in 25 minutes plus a couple of jokes.
So do you, what number are you going to give?
I mean, I feel like it is super egregious because it's a kids family slash show.
Yeah.
And the fact that you've got to sit the kids down, and my boys, it is hard to get them to sit down and watch anything. They always throw a fit because they would rather be playing video games.
Rather be watching people play video games.
Yeah, whatever it is. I mean, you know, the fact is we were blamed that we were this short attention span culture because we were raised on MTV and you know, these short TV specials that were, you know, half hour long. Well, our kids are worse because they're watching 2-minute YouTube videos, and if it's any longer than that, they can't be bothered. Anyway, they don't want to watch anything this long. It feels super egregious because of the slot that it fits in. Like, I'm going to give it a 2.
Wow.
Actually, let me revise that. I'm going to give it a sleep because I slept through. I slept through 15 minutes of it, and it was the perfect length.
Nice. Yeah, for me, the time management is a 4 because I mean, it is. We already talked about the pieces that I'm like, I could have done without. And yeah, Trevor's right. It's the life day part. The, like, okay, just do this as a fun story and don't do it as a, you know, don't do it the marketing gimmick of it being a holiday special, you guys.
The problem is that I don't think any of us would have watched it if had it not been a holiday special. Do you realize there's a ton of other Lego Star Wars special things on Disney Plus, and I haven't seen any of them?
No.
And yeah, I'm not going to.
That's fair. Right. You're right.
I'll probably go with the 4 as well. Repeatability. Like I said, I'll watch it probably again next year if they do another Lego special, but I'm not going to be like, man, I really want to.
Got me a hankering for this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll watch it again because I didn't watch it with my kids yet. And at some point we'll finish The Mandalorian, and you know, then we'll need some more Star Wars content.
Yeah, I think I'll probably end up watching it again because somebody in the house will turn it on again. I mean, technically, I'm watching it right now, but not because I wanted to, but because we were talking about it. I will not be the initiator of it. I will not watch this again.
Okay. So what sort of number?
It's probably a 3 for me on repeatability. I mean, again, I'm the worst guy to ever grade repeatability.
I'm going to give it a 4. I think for most people, it'll be one of those watch it, forget it. It doesn't feel like it's not a Christmas special that really touched on anything that's going to make you want to come back to.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
There's no Tiny Tim saying God bless us, everyone.
Our next category is fun.
I find it quite fun. I enjoyed it. Like I said, the problem was it wasn't Christmas for me, and I actually kind of hate that they labeled it that. But there are sections to it that are amazing. I'd give it a 7. I actually think it's, if you kind of throw out the Christmas thing and just watch it for the fun parts, it is quite fun.
I don't feel as generous as Trevor, but I give it a 5. I'm glad I watched it. Let's put it that way, but like,
I think you gave it a better grade though, the previous time we recorded. I think you're going down the more we talk about it.
I'm more tired this time. What can I say?
Yeah, I'll probably go with like a 6 on fun. So overall, I'll probably go with 6 as well.
I'm okay with a 6 as my overall.
Really? Okay. Well, I'm lower than that. I think that other than the fun, there's not a lot here.
Oh, that's the funny.
The plot's painted on. It's not a Christmas special. Other than it's too long. I mean, I'm going to give it a 5. It is the average Drek that you get out of most TV specials.
Sure.
Okay. And audience?
Pretty much anyone but a angry, raging, I believe the term is neckbeard. I used it before. I'll use it again. I acknowledge that I am sometimes one myself.
Yeah, I would have a hard time. I would have a hard time recommending anybody. If your time is limited, there are much better Christmas specials. If you got nothing better to do and you're stuck in because it's cold or you know you need to find something to watch with the family that you haven't already seen, you know, go ahead and enjoy it, I guess. But
because of the last episode of this, I actually had a bizarre, surprising conversation with my wife about what are the best holiday specials.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was crazy because she and I agreed. So like, we're really worried that the end times are truly upon us.
So what's your top 3 best Christmas specials of all time?
We talked about, for us, it's Klaus, It's a Wonderful Life, and it's not Elf. Well, why can I not remember? What's the other greatest classic?
Christmas Story?
No, I think that was in like maybe the top 5. I can't remember now.
It's gotta be The Muppets Christmas Carol.
No, that one is awesome though. It'll come back to me. She said a different one.
That one's number 2 for me, right behind It's a Wonderful Life.
Clearly, I've not given it enough thought.
I'm drawing a blank, but that doesn't mean anything. Home Alone? Die Hard?
No. Man, if my wife had watched Die Hard, that would blow my mind. Like,
I mean, clearly it's Scrooged. My daughter thinks
I know what it is. It's Original Animated Grinch, which is the only Grinch that should exist.
Oh, sure. I thought you were going to tell me it was the Polar Express.
You know what? I thought we were going to get through the episode without this happening.
No. This is the amazing thing. The most glorious Josh rant we've ever had in the last 8 years of Chain Attack. And it got lost to the ether. I'm so pissed off about this.
Can we not recover just that, Jay?
Yeah, it was my audio that was missing, so we probably can.
All right, we should find it. Because I don't think I've got the fire in my belly for it this morning. But, like, yeah, basically, you're dead to me for bringing it up, Trevor. And we're never recording together again. Because it is the greatest crime that has ever been inflicted on man by the entertainment media. It is creepy, awful, and if you like it, you're bad and you should feel bad. There, I said it, okay? My children torment me with this movie and songs from it. And I basically, like, removed privileges. I've kicked them out of the house. You know, like, there are no lengths I will not go to stop the propagation of this terrible film. I hate it.
I actually hate it, too. But I would love to. I need an hour long album of Josh talking about it.
which in my life. Which show was it again?
Polar Express.
Oh, okay. The other thing that we missed was a discussion about Josh swearing more times on the day we recorded.
Oh man, I was so angry that day. Yeah, that one's not getting recreated. Joke's on you. Recover that audio if you want it, Jay.
But evidently, Josh interacting with Idaho's healthcare system is one of the things that will make him angrier than anything else.
Yeah, if only we could channel rage, we could just send me to deal with the healthcare system on a repeated basis.
Okay, well, thank you for listening, and let us know what you think of the Star Wars special, Lego special, War special, Lego special.